The title of the sermon today is A Sense of Urgency. A Sense of Urgency. So we'll start this message off by turning to Ephesians chapter 5. When reading the Bible, there's a sense of urgency there that just jumps out at you. It's everywhere in the scriptures. When you look and you read, you see it. And it's up to us to embrace that sense of urgency and to apply it on a day-to-day basis. So here in Ephesians 5, we'll read verses 15 and 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes, he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." The days are evil. That word evil is the Greek word poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S, and it means hurtful in its effect or influence upon you. Hurtful in its effect or influence upon you. And certainly in this day and age that we are living in, there are many things out there that can be classified as hurtful in their influence upon us. There's a lot of poneros, or evil, that is out there. And of course, we know and we realize the source of this evil. All we have to do is just stay here in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 2 refers to the prince of the power of the air, who we understand is Satan, the devil. But I want to look here in chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6, which shows that we are in a struggle that's far greater than what we can handle ourselves. Ephesians 6, we'll begin in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers," like the prince of the power of the air, "against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness." Where? In the heavenly places. Is this world's problems are physical, but they come from a spiritual source. It's a spiritual war that we Christians are fighting. "And for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh," 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 says. There is indeed a spirit world out there. And Satan and his demons, they have a sense of urgency themselves, because they know that their time is short. And so they're out there working away, trying to thwart the plan of God, whatever way they can. And of course, the spiritual affects the physical. And it's because God's law is spiritual. The Ten Commandments are spiritual, and spiritual laws govern physical behaviors. Now, Isaiah chapter 55, and Isaiah 55 shows that we must be seeking God now, while we can, while we're able. Here in Isaiah 55, actually there's a number of scriptures that convey this point, but one is found here in Isaiah 55, verse 6, which says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." And so there is coming a time when God is not going to be so easily accessible. Even though some may cry out to him, there may come a time where he won't respond. So brethren, now is always the time for the first fruits of God, to cry out to him, to draw close to him, to receive the strength and help that we need to keep marching forward towards the kingdom of God. Now is our time to redeem. But because we are human, flesh and blood, there are things that crop up in our lives from time to time that can cause real roadblocks to maintaining a sense of urgency. Laodicean attitude is one. Laodicean attitude, an attitude of lukewarmness, neither hot nor cold, uncaring, self-satisfied. Your Laodiceans think that they know it all and that they don't have anything more to learn. Well, in Revelation chapter 3, God says that he wishes that people weren't that way. Let's read about the Laodicean church here in Revelation 3. Now, Laodicea is pictured as a church that has kind of gotten into themselves a bit. And because of that, they're not really full of zeal, nor on fire for the things of God. Revelation 3, we'll start in verse 14. It says, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth." God is very upset because of this church, these brethren's overall indifferent attitude. It also seems like these people were enjoying a luxurious lifestyle as well. Verse 17, "Because you say, I'm rich, and become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." So we're looking at a people here who are incredibly self-sufficient, disinterested in what's going on around them. They know it all, and they don't need to be taught by anyone else. Now, I've heard all this a million times. You know, could some of this attitude slowly seep into you and I if we're not careful? Well, reading on, verse 18, "I counsel you, I advise you, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see." You know, I want you to go to God and to buy from him, this is saying. Put him on. Clothe yourselves with his character and be getting rid of the self. Clothe ourselves with God and get rid of the self. In verse 19, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent." And we shouldn't be doing these things half-heartedly, but with our whole heart, we need to be right with God. Zealously repent. And then here's the reward. Verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." You know, when somebody is knocking at your door, you know, we tend to have that sense of urgency, you know, because you know, we want to get there. We want to get there quickly and answer it before they leave. Well, verse 21, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And so this is a solemn warning, not only for the Laodicean church, but for all of us, all of God's called out ones. You know, we need to be on fire. We need to be zealous. We need to be in a constant state of repentance, be examining ourselves, zealously repenting. And we need to be seeking God while we can, while he's there, while we're able to. You know, there are a number of people today out there in society that are on fire. You know, you can see how passionate some are about their causes, especially in the last few weeks as heading into the midterm elections this Tuesday. There's a lot of passionate people who are on fire out there. And of course, everything that they say is the truth, right? Of course not. Hope we don't think that. Like you, I'm looking forward to Tuesday myself when that being behind us, the election being behind us, and that frenzy hopefully dying down just a little. Trying to think positively about that. You know, I'm tired personally. I'm tired of listening to so many half-truths or complete outright lies that are said out there. And all you have to do is just look. Every single day, it seems like there are new ones, new lies, new things that are being spoken of out there. I glanced at the news headlines this morning, and the top story was, Biden sounds alarm about Elon Musk. Twitter spews lies all around the world. So, you know, most of that rhetoric out there that we're seeing is getting downright nasty. Some of it is actually hilarious. Hilarious in a sad sort of way. You know, for instance, the White House this past Wednesday posted on their official Twitter account, quote, seniors are getting the biggest increase in their Social Security checks in 10 years through President Biden's leadership, end quote. Well, Twitter itself, again, now led by Elon Musk, they had to add a context to that post. They posted there on the post because the post itself was not factual. And Twitter posted, quote, seniors will receive a large Social Security benefit increase due to the annual cost of living adjustment, which is based on the inflation rate, end quote. And so the Social Security checks, the increase to them that are going out, they're because of high inflation. Not necessarily something that the White House should be proud of and putting out there, in my opinion. They must have realized that because very quickly after that, they deleted that tweet from their own post. So that's just one of those things that, you know, you can only shake your head at and, you know, just shake your head and kind of laugh a little bit about. But, you know, there are so many false things out there that are being said. This time of the year, especially, you know, right before elections, it just seems to be at its worst. As politicians will say or do anything to buy votes, to win votes. Again, people out there are certainly on fire for their issues. We need to have that same fire and same zeal for God, to put on God, to be clothed in God. We need to have that same sense of urgency in seeing what's going on around us and then channel that urgency into clothing ourselves more fully into God's image, becoming more and more like Him. You know, on another extreme, we also live in a world today that is apathetic and lethargic, not to their causes necessarily, but to God, to God's laws, to anything that's right and true. You know, not everyone is this way. You know, there are some, a few, that are trying to seek God, but the vast majority aren't. And the messages to the churches of Revelations 2 and 3 are full of warnings for us to be watchful, to repent, and to have that sense of urgency. Let's back up to the beginning of the chapter here and read about the Sardis church, Revelation Chapter 3, verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You know, a thief, usually most of the time, will come in the middle of the night when we least expect it, when we're sleeping. You know, I've come to realize over the years that just when you maybe kind of have things figured out, you maybe know where things are going, you know, there Satan goes and throws a curveball at you. And who could have envisioned the events of the past few years, you know, the crackdowns that came because of them, that came so quickly as well. The abusing of power and authority by so many. What we've seen thus far is likely just the tip of the iceberg, though. We have to be watching what's going on around us. More importantly, we need to be watching ourselves, and we need to make sure we keep our priorities in the right place. And that is seeking first God's kingdom and His righteousness. Now, this world, if we're not careful, can hypnotize us. It's like when you've been driving along the highway. I'm sure all of us have experienced that. You drive along, and then all of a sudden, you kind of feel yourself jerk, and you look around, and you go, how'd I get here? You know, I don't remember the last however many minutes. You know, there's a term for that. It's called highway hypnosis. And here's how Wikipedia defines highway hypnosis. Highway hypnosis, also known as white line fever, is an altered mental state in which a person can drive a car, truck, or other automobile great distances, responding to external events in the expected, safe, and correct manner, with no recollection of having consciously done so. And so we can be hypnotized on the highway. You know, again, that's happened to me a number of times. I'm sure it's happened to all of you as well. We can also be hypnotized as we just go through our day-to-day lives. And just going through our routine each day, living life, haphazardly going through the motions, not truly being aware of what really is going on around us. If you drop down a little further here in Revelation 3, to the Philadelphia church, talking about the Philadelphia church, verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, you know, you keep grinding away, you keep marching along, you persevere, and I will also keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Hold fast to what you have. Hold tight to what we've got, or what we have been offered, our salvation. You know, that no one may take away your crown of eternal life. You know, let's not forget that the ultimate prize that we are seeking is eternal life in God's kingdom. And we can't let anyone or anything come between us and God. But it is, unfortunately, it is so easy to happen. You know, people's loyalty to their friends, to their spouse, to their family, is sometimes greater than their loyalty to God and Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus Christ describes all of us as His friends. He describes His disciples as His mother and His brothers. And so our loyalty needs to be to Him above all people. And so we are to be holding fast to our salvation so that no one may take it. If you go back a chapter to Revelation 2, we can see here another type of loss of urgency. Revelation 2, talking God here, talking to the church at Ephesus, verse 2. Revelation 2, verse 2, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you've tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. Unfortunately, there are often at times tares that are among us in the faith. And we always need to be testing. We always need to be discerning what's being said, what we're talking to people about, discerning what's going on around us. Verse 3, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. But nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You know, sounds to me, in spite of the good things that they had done, they also had lost their passion, their fire, their sense of urgency that they had when they were first called. You know, the same thing can happen to us. Verse 5, remember therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." And dropping down to verse 25, hold fast what you have until I come. Again, holding fast, holding tight what we have been given by God, not letting it go. "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, well, to him I will give power over the nations." So the admonitions that we're reading here is to wake up, get back on track, get back to our first love. The warnings to the churches of Revelation and to us today are full of urgency and actions that we are to be taking. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22 now. Here, Matthew 22 directs us to where our first love should be. Let's look here at Matthew 22. We'll begin in verse 37. Words of Jesus Christ, Matthew 22, verse 37. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so with all that's going on around us, all the lawlessness, all the chaos, the nastiness that's going on, we can't let our love for God or our love for each other wax cold. The sense of urgency that's conveyed here is that we are to love God and our neighbor with all of our heart. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. We're either all in for this way of life, or we won't survive the heat of the day. The Apostle Paul exhorted the brethren of the Church of God himself in various ways to awake out of sleep. 2 Timothy chapter 4 is one such exhortation. An exhortation has to do with giving warning or advice from Scripture. And you'll find here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, where the Apostle Paul here tells Timothy, a young minister at that time, he says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season." There are a few translations that actually render this: be urgent in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teachings. Interestingly, last night, as we were in between storms, I was actually working on this section of the message and had the weatherman on in the background. And he was saying at that moment that everyone in East Texas, Western Arkansas, and Northwestern Louisiana needs to be awake right now. And he said that we need to be hyper-vigilant to what was going on outside. And that's what he said as I was working on this. And I'm sure a lot of us had the radar on last night. A lot of us were listening. A lot of us were keeping track of the storms, where they were at, what was going on. So last night, we were definitely in season, as far as weather went. I know I certainly had that sense of urgency myself all evening. But Paul, as we just read, says here to be ready out of season as well. It means that there's not always going to be urgent events going on around us 24/7. But we ourselves are still to be always ready to react when things happen. Be ready, it says, to convince, rebuke, exhort, warn people, teach them from the Scriptures with long-suffering or patience. Preach the gospel to the world. We need to look at ourselves in the mirror. And if needed, we have to we may need to recapture this urgency here a bit, that the Bible, the scriptures are full, you know, that's just jumping out at us. We need to be always examining all aspects of our lives and be asking ourselves, do I have a sense of urgency? How am I doing in my spiritual life? How's my prayer and Bible study, my fasting, my meditation? How's that been going lately? Do I seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness above all things? We have the spiritual. Are we working on ourselves physically? Is it a priority for us to eat well, get enough sleep, and be as healthy as we possibly can? Now, your body is the temple that God's Spirit is dwelling in. Do we have a sense of urgency in how we are taking care of our body? There's so many aspects of our lives that we need to be diligently working on. Our relationships with our family and friends. Again, loving our neighbor. So important. Areas like our finances, stress management. I've got a quote here from Ryan Hall. And I'm not talking about the Ryan Hall that was on the radar last night, but the Ryan Hall that we all heard about that spoke during the feast, the Cybercast day, he gave the sermonette. And he said that it's not as important what's going on in the world around us, but what's going on in the world inside of us. We do need to be aware of both. We also have to have our priorities in line as well. And as people who have been called to become like God, you and I, we need to be diligently always examining ourselves, examining all aspects of our lives, zealously repenting, working on ourselves. So there's no reason why we should not have a sense of urgency, because this day and age is moving along very rapidly. Romans 13 talks about waking up out of sleep. Let's read here in Romans 13. You have the Apostle Paul admonishing us, beginning in verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11, and do this knowing the time, knowing the time, being aware of what's going on, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Sometimes we can get sleepy or groggy or hypnotized in terms of our personal lives. And God wants us to wake up and realize the seriousness in which we find ourselves living. Paul goes on here to say that our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed because, verse 12, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. If this was applicable 1,000 years ago, then it's certainly applicable today, isn't it? Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. We're told in the book of John that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. And so you and I are told to come out of darkness. We're told to cast it off and to let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness. It's interesting that the original King James says not in rioting and drunkenness. Do we see a lot of rioting going on out there in the world right now? Certainly something that we are to never be a part of. Not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, become clothed. And make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. And so Paul here in these verses is emphasizing time here. The time is at hand. Time is a critical component for all of us. The book of James talks about the temporariness of this fleshly existence. Let's see this in James chapter 4. And we don't know how much time the Almighty God has so graciously bestowed on each and every one of us. And so knowing that time is short, or can be short, it should speed us up with an urgency and in a desire to make the most of our time, whatever that time is, right now, to redeem our time, because we know that time is fleeting. James chapter 4 and verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and buy and sell and make a profit." And talking about those who are just going on with life as normal. "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Your life is very short. We need to always be thankful to God for whatever time we have, whatever we've been given. "Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that." You plan physically as if you're going to live to be really old, but plan spiritually as if this could be your last day. And so live that perfect day, having one eye on the physical future, but keeping one eye as well on the kingdom, our spiritual future. Because again, we don't know what might happen tomorrow. But we certainly don't worry. We're not to have worry. We're not to have anxious care about tomorrow, as Jesus taught and Jesus said. How many of us in the room, how many of us here can remember, you know, and does it seem like it was just yesterday that you were a child in elementary school? No, it does to me. And now look at a number of us, grandkids. Some of us have a number of graying, balding heads. Where did all this time go? How did it go by so fast? Well, it went by one day at a time. One day at a time, but it was gone before we knew it. And so we have to make the most of this time, as the scripture says, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let's turn there, and 2 Corinthians 6. Here in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1, "We then, as workers together with him, with Christ, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." You know, don't ever let go of that pearl of great price that we've been offered. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And it is time for the first fruits of God, those who have been called now, those who have been offered that pearl of great price. If we have chosen to accept God's calling, then there is no turning back. We're committed now. We've put our hand to the plow. And God is judging us now. And if we willfully reject his calling, then we are in danger of losing our eternal life. Because judgment is now on the house of God. The rest of the world, they're going to have a different time. Their judgment will be at a different schedule. God will work with them later on. And we know that God is no respecter of persons, but he wants all to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then when we do come to that knowledge, then we are to do something about it or with it. Our salvation does draw near. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 tells us to work out your own salvation. How? With fear and trembling. That's right. Doing it with all seriousness of mind. Hebrews 2, verse 1, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things that we've heard, lest we drift away. Pay attention to what we're being taught. Now is our time. We must redeem it because the night is far spent. Time is hastening to a close. Let's look next at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter 4 says a very interesting application. Here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7, we're cautioned about the following. 1 Peter 4, verse 7, it says, but the end of all things is at hand. And because of that, therefore, be serious. You know, have a high degree of alertness. And then, be watchful in your prayers. You know, as we're watching, as we're alert, as we're paying attention to what's going on around us, make sure that we are praying about these things. Because, you know, what we may see around us, you know, it's not always what it appears to be. And again, this has been driven home to me in the last few weeks. Again, with the election coming up, you know, the nastiness that's out there is really appalling. It's just appalling. You can see the spiritual warfare that's raging out there. In fact, you have one candidate who just in the last couple days said that. He went out there and he said, there is spiritual warfare that's going on right now. It's interesting because the rise in violent crime that we have in this country is emerging as a deciding issue in these midterm elections. You know, some people seem to be waking up to the crime problem, and they feel like voting a certain way about it, and that it may stem it, that it may do some good. You know, for instance, you know, if you just look around at this craziness of our society, you know, I just think about and see this more and more places that are instituting this cashless bail for people that are arrested. You know, the state of New York's bail law currently eliminates money bail for most misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies. Those accused of crimes are either freed without restrictions while their case plays out or released under certain conditions like electronic monitoring. The problem is, a bunch of these criminals, they just go right back out there doing what they did before. You know, in Freeport, New York, an accused thief was recently arrested 2 times in 2 days. The defendant was released from custody after allegedly stealing a car, and then he stole another vehicle the next day. And the suspect jumped into Freeport Creek to try to escape officers, which then required the use of a helicopter and other resources to arrest him again. What a waste. What a waste. Or even worse, I'm sure some of you have heard of Adam Benefield. He lives in upstate New York. On September 28th, Benefield's wife, Kiera, called police after her husband brutally beat her. It was all caught on cameras that was in their home. And Adam was arrested a week later after Kiera showed the video footage to the cops. But despite the shocking beatdown, Adam Benefield was only hit with a string of misdemeanor charges, including third-degree assault, fourth-degree criminal mischief, second-degree menacing, and second-degree unlawful imprisonment. He was arraigned in Chictauqua Town Court on October 4th, but was released because state law prevented the judge from setting bail due to the low level of the charges. Don't seem to be low level to me. And the video itself says otherwise. But this man put right back out on the street. And even adding insult to injury under the bail reforms enacted by New York's lawmakers, the judge couldn't even consider Benefield's 2000 conviction and 15-year prison sentence for kidnapping an ex-girlfriend and another woman at gunpoint. Because the Empire State is one of the few across the U.S. that doesn't allow judges to weigh the dangerousness of a person in considering bail. It's just unfathomable to me. The subsequent order of protection that was issued by the judge in Kiera's case did nothing of the sort. I won't go into the details, but the next day, October 5th, Benefield hunted down Kiera and tragically ended her life. This is just one of so many examples that are going on, of craziness that are going on out there. Some things are there in the public domain. Most things we don't ever hear about. We need law and order. Our society needs it. Many people realize that. Many others simply don't care. We realize that nothing humanly can permanently fix what is going on in our society. We desperately need the return of Jesus Christ to this earth to establish his law and kingdom, and we need to be pleading to God daily for it. I won't turn there, but Hebrews 11, verse 6, talks about how God is a rewarder of those who, what? Those who diligently seek him. Peter tells us to be diligent to be found spotless and blameless before God. Again, the Bible is full of this sense of urgency. It's full of strong action verbs for us to be taking on. And as we see these events moving closer and closer to the time of the end, you and I cannot afford to be indifferent about spiritual things. We can't allow the Spirit of God to become something that's looked upon in a careless manner. We need to treasure this precious calling that God has given us. We need to stir up the Spirit of God in us, not quench it. And so we need to be urgently aware any way you slice it. We also have to be aware of our role within the body of Christ. We get excited each and every Sabbath as we come before God and as we rejoice together as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's so easy to find excuses to not be here. Assembling ourselves together is not something to be taken for granted, as we hopefully know more now than more than ever. Our assembling together is something that Satan would love to destroy. He would love to end. And we have to zealously guard it. God gives us wonderful opportunities that are only available as we gather together. We use our assembling together to stir each other up to love and good works, to exhort one another. That's part of the command, to interact with one another, lifting each other up, teaching each other, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we must not forsake our holy convocations. Let's go now to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, a well-known chapter of Bible prophecy. There are some things that we can look at, we're going to look at here, that are going to be things that there are things that we need to be aware of, things that are going to be going on. We'll begin here in verse 36 of Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Again, for many people, life will just kind of be continuing on as normal. And yet, suddenly, everything will change. The world that they've known, the life that they've known, will come very suddenly to an end, just as in the days of Noah. Verse 40, "And two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming." And we won't turn there, but Luke's version of the Olivet prophecy makes an additional observation in Luke 21, verse 36, which says, "Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." And so we are to watch and pray so that we may be counted worthy. Doesn't mean that we'll necessarily escape all hardship and all trouble, but to be counted worthy to escape and to be counted worthy to stand before Jesus Christ, that's the goal. That's what we need to be praying about. Verse 43, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." Once again, just to emphasize, we need to be awake to what is going on out there in the world. But first and foremost, we need to be watching our spiritual state. Are we spiritually ready for the return of Jesus Christ? Are we ready right now for that marriage supper? Because for any of us, at any time, that return of Christ could be our next moment. So in the next chapter, Matthew 25, we come to the parable of the 10 virgins, where five of the virgins stirred up God's Spirit, symbolized by the lamp oil. Throughout their lives, they let God's Spirit help them to grow. And then the other five were quenching God's Spirit by their lack of use. Matthew 25, verse 1, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now five of them were wise and five were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps." They had that sense of urgency and they were using the Holy Spirit. They were being clothed, by God. They used the Holy Spirit as they lived their lives. They had their oil with them all the time. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom's coming. Go out to meet him." And then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Again, you've got midnight here, the middle of the night. Remember, coming as a thief in the night, per se. Verse 8, "And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.'" These five foolish virgins, again, did not prepare enough. They didn't use their gifts. They didn't use what the Spirit that God had given them. And they were not ready when Christ returned. Although they, too little too late, tried to rekindle God's Spirit there at the very last second, it was too late. But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves." This just emphasizes the fact that everyone is responsible for their own salvation. Again, we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. The five wise virgins can't do anything to bring others into the kingdom who haven't been preparing themselves. In verse 10, "While they," the foolish virgins, "went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Surely I say to you, I do not know you.'" Watch, therefore, the main lesson of this parable, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And so you and I should certainly have a sense of urgency for many reasons, most important of which is so that we don't miss out on our bridegroom's return. So let's conclude today in 2 Peter. Here in 2 Peter, we see here and among many places that, again, we are to be diligent in our calling. Keep our eyes on the reward which will come to us beyond today. You know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. The gospel is a gospel of good news. You know, there is good news coming. The kingdom of God will come. God and Christ will return. They will put an end to all this madness. And everyone will have their opportunity to learn and to be taught God's way of life. Very, very wonderful things that we have to look forward to. There is light at the end of the tunnel. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And then our reward for doing this? Verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, brethren, we need to be awake. We need to always be ready to fight this spiritual war that we're in. Let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. So, brethren, let's be diligent, and let's always have a sense of urgency.